Welcome back to Unsportsmanlike Conduct on 1620 The Zone, 1620thezone.com, the Zone mobile app. Hey, don't forget, you can always register to be a part of our email nation. We used to call it...
Email nation. I like that.
We used to call it subscribe today, but then some mean person took that away. But if you want to join our email
nation...
Her
name is Alicia.
Well, I don't know if she did. Did she do it?
I would assume so.
You think she went in there?
And, her, Mel.
Anyway,
yeah.
Join our email club, 1620thezone.com. There's cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Cool stuff like Max Olson of The Athletic.
Nice.
Who joins us on the 42 Degrees The Source hotline. Hello, Max.
Hey, fellas. You know, I would love to start this off by talking about the Jack Mitchell softball experience. We got rained out this week.
Oh, yeah. So sad. I know you're bummed to not talk about it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, big week for us to get back on in the winning record there. But well, I guess we've never had one. But, you know, it would have been nice. So we'll see. We'll see about next week.
Hey, tell us about our boss, Mark Onweiler. What are we calling him again? He's a fielder's choice Mark. What's up with all
FC Mark.
Yeah, what's up with all these lack of hits from Mark so far?
Mark is a great culture guy. He's bringing great vibes to the dugout. And I have thoroughly enjoyed playing with Mark. I have not a bad word to say.
Wow. What a nice answer. That's a guy who's listened to answers like that from players and coaches before.
There's nothing more coded in coded language than he's
a great culture guy. Great for the culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Max, did you have any idea? I mean, you knew that your piece was going to elicit response because it involves Colorado, involves Deion Sanders. But did you think, as you were hitting send on that publish, or however it is that you go about doing that, I'm sure you weren't the one hitting send, but you sent the article in, that it would lead eventually to Deion and Shedeur Sanders exposing themselves on social media as it did?
No. I would say I was very surprised by the reaction to that. I was surprised that story ended up being the number one story in The Athletic the whole week. I mean, didn't really see that coming. I suppose I should thank Shedeur for, you know, really kind of signal boosting it on Tuesday like he did. It was, and that's just, you know, I think it was one of those experiences where it's like, you kind of understand that, like the real diehard Colorado fan, there's going to be some people who are like, yeah, I wish you wouldn't write about these guys. Like, let's focus on what's going on now and not, you know, the guys that got cut loose a year ago. So you kind of expect that a little bit, but certainly like the discourse around all of that, really kind of turned into something very different than what was actually, you know, inside the story, the contents of the story. So that was, you know, pretty wild to watch. And, you know, sometimes it's the healthy thing to just log off. And that's what I did for a couple of days last week.
You know, Max, it was such a great reminder to me of maybe some of the things that you kind of forget about from like when Deion first got hired there. And like, even though they seemingly film everything, I had forgotten in a way that the Louis line, the luggage that came from that introductory meeting that he had with the players that was released on video. And so like, as I'm reading some of these quotes about just the entire situation, it's like, oh, that's right, memory lane a little bit with Colorado. So I use that as a long preamble to ask, given how much of the stuff with them has been on the surface, we've seen all these videos, was there anything that you learned in there that you were like truly like stunned by in terms of like some of the behind the scenes machinations with Colorado, again, given how public they are and a lot of what they're doing?
Yeah, you know, that's the interesting piece to this is that, you know, I think Deion Sanders, I suppose to his credit, has been like, he was very transparent during all of this, whether it was telling these guys in the first team meeting that, you know, it was his job to run out anybody that didn't deserve to be there and that they were going to try and make him quit with their offseason program and all that kind of stuff, which, again, you can go on YouTube, you can watch all of that. They broadcast that out to the world. You know, when you talk to the players, they all have very strong memories of that and all had kind of different takes on what they thought he meant when he got there. But, you know, I think the thing that stood out, the thing that kind of surprised me a little bit is, again, like we see all this, you can go on YouTube, you can go on social media, you can kind of see, you know, that they are giving like, you know, definitely kind of unprecedented access into their program and have ever since he got there. But it was interesting talking to the players that left Colorado, guys who had, you know, signed to play for Carl Durrell, who went through, you know, a terrible season, obviously, in Durrell's last year. And they were excited to play for Deion Sanders and play for a program that was about to be relevant. It was interesting how many of them brought up individually that it just felt like a reality TV show.
Yes.
They signed up, what they experienced in that spring at Colorado. And you know, you again, like, to the rest of us, we're like, whoa, this is crazy. This is cool. This is different. I think to players inside a football program who are like kind of used to a more team environment, they were like, this is a little bit nuts how the new guys are being pitted against us. And like it, from the first day from that team meeting, like there's signs on the wall saying, hey, if you go into this meeting, you're giving us permission to record you. And like for them to have, you know, I think they it felt a little weird to them to have cameras in their face all the time, to see cut-ups on YouTube from practice. And, you know, I think that piece of the experience, we all kind of know what's going on, but I think for a player, you kind of underrate that. That is kind of a strange feeling that makes you feel like you kind of have to be perfect because every day feels like a tryout there.
Max Olson of The Athletic, the story that came out last week was regarding Deion Sanders and his Colorado castoffs, what happened to them. There were over 50 of them, where they ended up going, how their experience went. Certainly, Max, as you embark on a story like this and you start to interview some of the candidates, you walk in with a certain expectation maybe of what you think you're going to hear. But did the vibe that you got from these players meet that expectation, or did it surprise you a little bit how blunt things went?
Well, look, I think it's a good, really good question, because I think, you know, obviously, like, the reaction you get from people, especially people who didn't actually read the story, is, like, there's an assumption that, oh, man, these former Colorado players, you know, they've got an axe to grind, they're vindictive, they hate Deion, they hate the program, that's why they're speaking out, they, you know, people just kind of want them to be quiet and go away and stuff like that. And, you know, honestly, in my interviews with these guys, and these were not, like, short interviews, they were all really long interviews, I just was so impressed by their maturity and their perspective. And, you know, a lot of them kind of just understood, like, they've had a year to kind of think about it. And after going through the experience of either, you know, getting cut after the spring game or deciding to leave the program. And I think I you heard a bunch of them just kind of be like, you know, it's a business. That's just kind of how it is now. Like, ultimately, yeah, it was upsetting to go through it, but I think a lot of these guys I spoke with are kind of happy with where they ended up. And even if that's not at a Power 5 school, they like the opportunities they got. And, you know, I think that they still watched Colorado throughout the season, and they weren't, you know, I think enough time passes that you're not that bitter about it. You're not kind of feeling like, oh man, I was like the victim of something horrible. They kind of look at it as like, you know, that's college football. And, you know, you go through stuff. Those are guys that, you know, played on a team that won 1-11. Their coach got fired after 5 games. You know, a lot of those guys were just freshmen in the program and got cut. So they went through a lot of crazy stuff in a short period of time in Boulder. And, you know, I was just impressed by the way that they talked about all this stuff for guys that are pretty young. You know, I know that some of, like, the more negative reflections on it, I know that's the kind of stuff that goes viral. But honestly, like, I just kind of blown away by the way that those guys were able to look back on something that they experienced that was pretty intense.
So, Max, this happens last year, and we're all like, wow, it's really going to unfold this way. And certainly, you know, also the just maybe the bluntness or the meanness that I think was behind it got a lot of us, maybe our feathers ruffled a little bit. It's happening now again a year later. I wonder what you think this means now for the 2024 iteration of them on the field, because it's, I guess I keep asking myself, is it the timing of all of these moves again after spring, or is it the number of players that leaves me more concerned? I wonder what you've been making of what's happened this time around.
Yeah, you know, I think this time around, so basically it's 37 scholarship players transferred out, you know, another 37 scholarship players have transferred in. Obviously they've picked up a lot of players once again in the spring portal and a ton in the off season. You know, do I think that Deion Sanders cut 20 of those guys this time around? No, I don't think so. I think a bunch of them that left, you know, were guys that transferred into the program a year ago and maybe just didn't have the role that they hoped they would have at Colorado. And are hoping to move on. You know, a bunch of them were backups that, you know, if we had a one-time transfer rule, those guys probably wouldn't be leaving Colorado, but now that it's unlimited, that, you know, you're going to move on and see if you can, you know, hit somewhere else. I think the Dylan Edwards one is a big deal. I think that certainly is a guy they did not want to lose, and that's a great pickup for Kansas State. I think Cormani McClain is one that they were probably okay with losing, with just all the issues they had with him during his freshman year. But, you know, I think the bottom line is that Colorado is just trying to get as good as possible for Shadur's last season, and I think they've done a better job this year in terms of the caliber of player that they're taking out of the portal. But certainly you kind of have some of the same concerns you had a year ago. It's like they've taken 17 transfers on the offensive or defensive lines this year. And I love some of the guys they took on the defensive line, but you know, certainly the guys they took on the O-line, that's one of the keys to, like, will this team be successful in the Big 12 and be able to protect Shedeur Sanders. But kind of repeating the cycle here, probably was a little bit better player. But it does tell you that they missed on quite a few years.
Max Olson of The Athletic joining us on the 42 Degrees, the Source Hotline. From the players that left, the story that you did of the 53 that were gone, how many was did you talk to them about whether or not they felt like they were damaged goods? Because of the sheer number of them in the portal, and you know, a Colorado backer might look at that list and say, well, see, only 15 of them ended up in a Power 5 program, so they weren't that good anyway. So was there an element of, you know, these guys are in the portal and they may not be as attractive because, well, if Deion didn't want these guys and they played at Colorado, well, we don't want them either.
Yeah, you know, that was a really tricky thing, because it's already, if you're going into the portal in April, it's already kind of tough enough because teams just don't have as many needs. They don't have as many scholarships to give. But, you know, usually when a head coach comes in, and I mean, and again, like, everybody does this. This is not exclusive to Colorado. New head coaches are you know, constantly kind of looking at their roster and saying, you know, who are the guys that just shouldn't be here, and encouraging them to go in the portal. But usually that's the guy that's, like, been in your program a couple of years, really hasn't done anything. Maybe they're a graduate, maybe they're not, but you're kind of moving on from guys that you've been stuck with. And, you know, I think what was tough for this group of players is it was a ton of, like, freshmen and redshirt freshmen who just really hadn't played that much and didn't have any college tape, really. And, like, they're trying to kind of put together their practice film from what they did in the spring and kind of hope that can get you some scholarship offers. And that's just tough when there's just too many players in the portal at the end of the spring. And so I think that contributes to, you know, a lot of those guys going G5, going FCS. But, you know, it's also, yeah, the Colorado fan could also point out that, you know, were they recruiting at a high level under Carl Durrell? Like, definitely not. And so I think there's a perception for those guys that, oh, well, they went 1-11, therefore, and Deion got rid of them, so they must not be good. I think Deion's approach was more, these guys aren't going to help me this year, and we want to get as good as possible. But that, you know, all that combines to, you know, make it pretty tricky to have that kind of foray into the portal and get great opportunity.
Max, what do you think their place is in the Big 12 in 2024? And I mean, I even want to mention the non-conference games, because I don't know if I've ever been as excited for a power FCS matchup as I am for their Thursday night opener versus North Dakota State. Obviously, they'll be coming into Lincoln the next week before they play at Colorado State. That game was memorable last year. But, I mean, Kansas State comes into Folsom Field. They're at Arizona. Utah's on the schedule. A very good Kansas program, among others. What's their place in that league in 2024?
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty funky year in the Big 12 to add the four Pac-12 schools, especially with Jed Fish going to Washington.
Yeah.
I think maybe Arizona was probably the only school that, you know, maybe at the end of December you would have said, like, man, maybe they're a preseason top 10 team, just with what they have coming back. But obviously they've had a lot of roster turnover, and I just don't think there is a preseason top 10 team in the Big 12 this year. There's a bunch that you probably could, like, very comfortably put in that 20 to 25 range, but it's hard to sort who even the front runner should be. I mean, you've got, you know, certainly you feel like Arizona and Utah are going to come in and be competitive. I think that Colorado, they expect that they've got a bowl team and probably better than that. But it is going to be a tough schedule with Oklahoma State having a lot coming back, Iowa State, West Virginia, you know, Kansas definitely is in great shape. Like, there's just a ton of teams that I think will be a challenge on the schedule. And when you look at the Big 12, it's a big league this year. I just don't think there are that many teams in the conference that think they aren't going to bowl game this year. So it's going to be a ton of parity. And, you know, I think for Colorado, a ton of close games.
Max Olson of The Athletic joining us on the 42 Degrees, the Source Hotline. Do you think if they would have handled it a little more compassionately, do you think this would have been as big a story as it turned out? Would it have been as attractive a story for you to even pursue in the first place?
That's a good question. I think that part of the reason I wanted to reach out to these guys a year later is, you know, certainly 53 scholarship players going in the portal in one offseason was unprecedented in college football. Hasn't happened before since. And 20 guys getting cut, straight up cut by a first-year coach after a spring game, it's just something that had never happened before. So, you know, I know that there's certainly the argument of, like, this goes on everywhere. Maybe it's not as publicized, but, you know, guys kind of hit the portal, you know, all the time. And you know, it's a much more transactional now that you can, between NIL and the fact that you can just really manage your 85 however you want now. You know, I certainly Xavier Smith, you know, the safety who, you know, unfortunately a lot of people went after on Twitter last week. I thought that was unfair, but yeah, you know, his feeling and sitting in his exit meeting with Deion Sanders as he wished it had been handled with more compassion. He said Deion wouldn't even look him in the eye. They didn't give him a one-on-one meeting. There was another player who was also getting cut in his meeting. I think that moment frustrated him. I think that Colorado staff generally did help guys that they were letting go in terms of supporting them, trying to help them find other places to go. So, you know, it's obviously debatable, like, what is there a compassionate, like, you know, proper way to do all that everybody agrees, like, yeah, good job cutting 20 guys, like, you handled that really well? Like, probably not. And I think there's probably an argument that if you're Deion Sanders and you're looking to completely flip that roster, you kind of understand why you wouldn't get that attached or that close with these guys you've inherited, because you know you're going to be making a lot of changes at the end of the spring. So, you know, I think on the player side, tough to go through that. I think the thing that a lot of them were kind of wishing, from the guys I talked to, they just wanted to have more of a connection with the head coach. They wanted to get more one-on-one time with him because he is a Hall of Famer and a guy that they wanted to learn a lot from. They're really eager to play for. And so, you know, if the exit meeting is the first time you're getting to talk to Deion Sanders, like, that's a pretty tough thing for those guys to swallow.
Max, one more from me before we let you go. We got a text from one of our listeners, Jeff, and he says, Max seems a lot more optimistic on Colorado than I have heard. Makes me nervous. Mm-hmm. Is that an apt description of you in terms of, like, are you optimistic about year two?
Well, I think that if you look at the problems they had last year, you know, I think they've done a good job of addressing them. Now, obviously, a year ago, they really felt like they could get great players out of the portal. And obviously that was very, you know, very mixed results in terms of the type of player they were taking to replace those guys that they cut or the guys that moved on. So I think they've done a better job at that. I think when you've got a guy that you feel like can be a top five, top 10 quarterback in college football, you feel like no matter what league you're playing in, you can play with anybody. And so I think there's, you know, you talk to personnel people who are, you know, competing for these same guys, and like, they do look at Colorado and say, like, yeah, they've gotten better. Like, that's a bowl team. Maybe that's like an 8-win team. You know, I think for Colorado, they're getting better competitive depth, but still a lot of stuff has to go right for them to have that kind of a year. And, you know, certainly you saw that in the way that they fell apart in October and November last year. So I think that they have a chance to start hot again. I like a lot of the talent they've got. But I do think the Big 12 schedule is just going to be a very different challenge from the Pac, where I think when they started 3-0, you could kind of circle a few games like, well, they're never going to win those. So here's how they get to 6. I think the Big 12 is going to be a tougher road, but I think they've got a better team.
Max Olson of The Athletic. Max, appreciate it. Thanks. And go back and into that cage and get your swings.
So back to the cages. All right, boys.
Thank you, Max.
Thanks, Max.
Thanks, guys.
Max Olson joining us on the 42 Degrees of the Source Hotline.
Yeah, so, you know, early on, we asked him what the hell's up with our boss, Mark, and his hitting, and he sidestepped it. Great job, answer. He goes, he's a good culture
guy.
Yeah. Well, Mark responds and says, it's a really nice thing for him to say, despite me absolutely drilling him with a foul ball. So, interesting. Can we trust anything that Max just said?
This team sounds like a comedy of errors.
It really does.
I almost feel like if I went to one of their games, that music would be playing in my head in the background.
What's the movie where John Cusack holds up the boombox? It's from your generation. It's from the 80s.
I never saw that one. I don't remember which one it was.
Okay, well, that could be you. You're just on the sidelines holding up a boombox. What is that movie? John Cusack.
Holding up a boombox movie.
I mean, seriously.
Say anything.
Yeah.
The Pittsburgh Pirates have announced that Paul Skeens is getting the call.
Ah, Skeens.
And he's going to debut Saturday against my Chicago Cubs.
Oh, are you scared, John?
No, because he'll throw like 40 pitches, and then it's like, oh, can't go any further.
Are you peeing in your pants, John?
No.
All right. By the way, going back
to... Once he goes through the order once, it'll be done.
Going back to the Max Olson story, just for one moment, there was one part in there that... I read it and I'm just like, holy crap. So I will read from Max. He's talking about a player. He stayed for the spring to finish his degree and to see if he fit with the new staff. On cut day, Wiley received an ominous text. Mm-hmm. Quote, in our O-line group chat, one of the offensive line coaches texted the group and said, good luck, fellas. And then he just removed all of them. It said these five people were removed from the chat. We were like, huh? What happened? So that's how he let them know that they were gone. He said, you're no longer in the group chat.
I just think, you know, listen, I get it. I'm all in on the tough love thing, blah, blah, blah. But there's a decent way to handle it. There's a way, the way you treat people in general.
Matters.
And it says a lot about you.
Matters.
And Deion can be a wannabe drill sergeant, you know, with a affinity for hip hop all he wants. But this isn't the military. You know, I mean, this isn't even has anything to do with how he walked into that first meeting and how, I mean, he was setting a tone. That's fine. But you still have to treat people well. And I still think it's very close-minded. And we saw the effects of it around here. When coaching staffs would favor the people that they brought in over the ones they inherited. One of the best things ever said by Urban Meyer was when he took over a program, he said, and he corrected his assistants by saying, no, it's not their guys versus our guys. The minute we walk into this place, they all become our guys. And say what you want, we've had plenty of things to criticize Urban Meyer about, but you can't fault his success and how it happened very quickly everywhere he went. Because there is a way that you treat people that says a lot about you and how you are as a person and how you are as a leader.
Travis says, why is no one questioning Pat Shermer as CU's new OC? Like, yes, the Buffs may have improved personnel-wise, but did they improve at play calling? I don't think they did, and I've heard a lot of people questioning that. They might have gotten better in some spots.
But that's all right. All you have to do is say, Shadur, throw the ball.
Throw it. Someone's down there. By the way, thank you to Adam. Thank you to Severe. Also to David. They all wrote Say Anything. Boom, boom, boom. That said, I'd Googled John Cusack. Boombox.
Yeah, I never saw that movie. Maybe that'll be a movie club selection.
Yeah. Have you let the folks know on the radio what god-awful movie you picked?
Hold on a second. Why are you already... Oh, you see, this is your problem. You would have liked the baseball movie if you wouldn't have went into it with such a negative attitude.
I didn't go into that movie with a negative attitude. I started watching it and then had a negative attitude.
Yeah, well, you got a negative attitude about my movie pick next week.
I trust Josh Ohtson, and Josh Ohtson gave Unfrosted half of a star out of five.
So if Josh Ohtson jumps off the top of this building, will you follow him?
No, I don't like Josh that much. I do. I'm a fan of Josh's work. I cannot wait.
The reason I picked him, by the way, we're picking Unfrosted, which is the Pop-Tarts movie.
Because you can't
Jerry
just
Seinfeld.
Watch it by yourself. You can't just watch this at home by yourself. You've turned in Nick Grimm before our eyes.
What do you mean I've turned in Nick Grimm?
I want to torture you too.
No,
if I have to be tortured, you have to.
This is not a torture movie.
It could be.
I have seen both positive and negative reviews.
Who is saying anything positive about this
movie? I've seen people elsewhere that I either follow on Twitter or I've seen
Flakes other reviews. Frosted Flakes Fan 69420 on Twitter. I don't care what that person thinks.
See, this is your problem. You let other people influence you. You don't think for yourself.
I just don't think it looks good. That's the problem.
What do you mean you don't think it looks good? Based on what? Because you saw one review by one person.
And the trailer. You said the same thing. There were movies in the past year. I didn't think it looked good, so I didn't want to see it. You've done the same thing. You do the same thing. I ask you, hey, why don't you watch this? I don't think it looks good. That's what you say.
No, your first reason for disliking this movie was because Josh told me I didn't have to like it.
No, I didn't say that.
Josh gave it a one-star review. You know, Josh is also a Braves fan, a problematic Braves fan.
He is. He does. He does the chop and everything.
And a Titans fan.
Yeah, that's just tough.
What kind of sick, disgusting person is a Titans
fan? How does that happen?
Good question.
Yeah.
I mean, they lost a Super Bowl by 1 yard one time. People forget.
People do forget about that. What a great Super Bowl.
Unfrosted is our. Honestly, though, the real reason I picked it was because it's getting such polarizing.
It's so divisive.
I want to see if it's as bad as they're saying or if it's better.
Mm. And then this week is The Talented Mr. Ripley. I watched it last night.
This sounds like an awful movie.
You picked it once.
No, that was you that picked it.
So wait, I've picked this movie twice?
I don't remember who picked it the first time.
Okay. I
don't think it was me.
I don't remember that we had picked this before, and now we are picking it again.
The reason why, because it was coming off of streaming.
And how did you notice?
Because it said so when I went into the show.
Sure enough, here it is, April 28th, last year. Wow, so it's been about a year. Up next in Movie Club, The Talented Mr. Ripley. Watch it on Amazon.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, did Josh Odson, I think, picked it because he has Biden saying,
See? And this is the person that you have decided will lead you to hell.
Not to hell. I hope not.
You're like Chrissy in The Sopranos.
I want to go to
heaven. That's the man, Adriana. That's the man I'm willing to go to hell for. You're willing to go to hell for Josh Odson.
By the way, you see what's up with Adriana these days? You see, she's gotten into some political takes. She is supporting one of the three candidates for president this year. I think I just gave away who she's supporting.
Well,
cue the theme song.
I got no
Kennedy, 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 Kennedy.
I don't care who she supports for president. I support Adriana.
There you go, John, big Adriana guy.
Well, I mean, she was pretty hot.
And then she got
whacked.
She getting choked or shot.
No.
Choked.
Remember? Yeah. Remember she was crawling away? Yeah. They did it very tastefully.
Here's the sky.
Because then the camera panned away, and then you heard the
very nice. Very nice.
By the way, spoiler alert.
Yeah, wow, geez, season five? By the way, Severe says, Talented Mr. Ripley, one of the greatest movies ever made.
Oh, well, this is going to suck.
But then he asks, or is this the new one, the series? I've watched one episode of the show. That's actually what made me think, I should pick the movie.
Oh, there's a show?
It's on Netflix. You'd hate it. Black and white.
I don't hate it just because it's in black and white. Mm. Now, do you have to read the damn movie, or can you actually sit and watch it and listen to it?
There is a scene where they're in, Italy, so there's a...
Well, that's fine. I don't mind if they show it in the summer titles, but not for the whole freaking movie.
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday.
That's a stupid.
Yeah.
If I wanted to do a read it, I would have gotten the book.
I'll be honest, I don't want to say too much about the movie. I kind of want to, rewatch it again. Because I feel like I'm going to pick up on a lot of stuff the second time around. Mm. I'm excited to talk about it. I feel like the more that I think about it, the more I like it.
I suppose Michael's going to next tell me, you should make the movie better if you get it in the app.
Oh,
that was his lame-ass excuse,
Michael,
for Popeyes.
Popeyes.
Oh, just order it in the app. Yeah, I don't want to have to order it in the app today for next year. Because that's how long it'll take.
Their app has great specials. John, great specials.
Yes, great specials. We'll only spit in your food once.
Mm, thank you, Popeyes. Thank you, Popeyes Daddy.
Let's see. Got dumb debates.
We have dumb debates. Here. It's a Wednesday, which means...
We'll do that next. The run and wrestling connection.
I got some stuff to talk about.
Is it just going to be about you?
No, that's on my podcast this week.
I figured you'd just use this segment to talk about you.
No, because then I feel like you'd say that I have a big head or, that I'm...
This is your segment. You're happy.
No, it's about something.
I mean, I'm going to rip the crap out of it anyway. You know this.
I did an hour recap on my pod this week about my marathon with my best friend.
Damn, an hour recap? You could almost recap every step.
Last step,
Here was step number 1,085.
Last step, right.
I almost stepped on an ant.
I probably did. I probably killed an ant somewhere.
See, another reason why marathoning is bad.
Because you kill ants?
You kill many insects crawling on the ground.
They're dead now. They're dead now.
Many dead ants.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the run and wrestling connection is next on 1620 The Zone.